Hey guys, welcome back to the Ski or Die podcast. I'm your host, Stevie Island.
And I'm Elizabeth Montevan, and I could not intro this episode because I have the zoomies right now, and I can't stop laughing.
This episode is going to be a recap episode of our experience at the IWWF World Water Ski Championships about a week ago, and it was at Jack Travers in Groveland, Florida, which is outside of Orlando, for those who don't know. And we just wanted to hop on here and just give a recap, tell you what the event was, the kind of logistics around it, what it's like, you know, representing America and our experience during that epic, very prestigious event that we're so excited to talk about.
Yeah, I can't believe that it was like only a week ago. I mean, it feels like it was just yesterday, but it also feels like it was months ago. I think that's what happens when you go through a period of high emotions, not necessarily bad emotions, just there's a lot of emotions, right, tied up in worlds. And when you go through that, there's a type of fatigue that comes with it. And I think your brain processes it differently and makes it feel still very new and also very far away. But yeah, a week ago, we were up at Sunset Lakes for Worlds. And I'll kind of give you guys the lay of the land of how Worlds has worked. I've been to two so far, both at Jack Travers. So very similar experiences to each other in terms of like the logistics. I would say this year was even bigger and better. They brought in more things to do and the crowd was even bigger, so that's really cool. But in terms of what happens on each day, it's fairly similar. So team familiarizations start, I think it's on Saturday, for sure Sunday, but Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of World's Week. Team USA usually seems to have practice on Monday. We both got four passes each. Everybody else got four passes each, and then tricky
with the driver that we were going to have during the event.
Yeah, and that was a really, really, that was a luxury to have. If you were a woman skiing, Mario hopped in the boat, and if a guy was skiing, Glenn hopped in the boat. So it was the most authentic familiarization you could possibly have. Then the skiing, the tournament skiing itself starts on Tuesday. So it's a Tuesday through Sunday tournament. If you looked at the results on the IWWF website, you would notice that it was in series. It's essentially like heats. I think that's a more common term used in other sports, right? Heats, you know, 6-1, I think was the max number of heats I saw. Men's slalom was the biggest event. There was about 100 men who competed.
There was like 9 series of men's slalom. Okay. It was 8 or 9. Maybe 8.
Right. Yeah. They did about 10 a series.
Yeah, 10 to 15.
Yeah. So it ended up being about 100 men in open slalom and around 65 women in open slalom. So obviously a massive event. You can't run straight through that. So they break it up into heats so that the boat driver can get out, can go pee, can have some water, and they can place those heats over multiple days. So starts with the earlier heats on Tuesday. Opening ceremonies is Tuesday night. I was scheduled to ski in the preliminary round on Thursday, and you were scheduled to ski in the preliminary round on Friday, with potential for finals for slalom being Sunday, but there was some weather challenges. You want to talk them through the weather?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was just insane winds up to, you know, 20-mile-an-hour gusts and a ton of rain. It was raining all day on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, nonstop.
So nonstop, so they had to shift some things around. So we ended up getting your slalom, women's slalom series 1 and 2, I believe, got pushed to Friday.
Right. Series 3, the women who did ski series 3 had the option for a re-ride with no protected score. So they a handful of them skied on Thursday, and I think all of them elected to re-ski on Friday because the wind was much better and there was no rain. Can't control that. That's just October in Florida.
Yeah, you get kind of random cold fronts or whatever, and
could be perfect.
It can get gusty.
Yeah, could get
gusty. Most of the time it is perfect in October. Yeah.
So we went from, I mean, leading up to Worlds for months and months and months, we knew we were probably going to ski on different days, and that was kind of the strategy, right? It's like Thursday was going to be all about me, Friday was going to be all about you. And then, you know, overnight we find out we're both skiing on the same day. Not something that we don't do very frequently in pro events, but when it's Worlds, you kind of plan and start to acclimate your brain to this is how this is going to be. And I think between the schedule changes and the weather changes, there was a lot of upsets across the events, across both divisions, I would say. And I think, you know, Wade was really spot on in a lot of his commentary and his dockside interviews that this was a world of who can acclimate the best and the fastest. That was who did the best. But yeah, we ultimately ended up skiing on the same day. We drove home after the prelims on so we could ski on Saturday morning at home, and then we turned around and drove back up to Orlando for my finals on Sunday. It was a lot of back and forth between West Palm and Orlando for us, but it was a luxury. You know, usually when you go to Worlds, you are in another country and you're just there. So
yeah, and you usually can't ski.
Right.
So it was nice to be able to come ski on our home lake, kind of in between familiarization and when we actually ski the prelim. And for you, in between prelims and final.
Yeah.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves. I guess we got to...
We are getting... Well, I just wanted to go through the timeline, kind of the overview of why it was spread out over so many days. Because I certainly never understood that till I actually skied a Worlds. Like, how does this all work? Why does it take so many days? And how do they decide who's going to ski when, even though it's all open women's or it's all open men? But anyway, my second Worlds, your first Worlds experience as a competitor. So I feel like I should just let you take it away and talk about what is that like?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool that I get to ski... got to ski in the Worlds because it's super hard to qualify. As an American individual, I had to hold an average of 3:41 just to qualify. And so last year I had a good season. I ran 2.3s. I had a couple of ones maybe, but the 2.3s are what kind of, you know, substantiated me and put me in the mix. And then I was within that top 20 cutoff in the world as an individual competitor. So that was really cool. It's amazing that I'm even getting to talk about it. Like, it's honestly, it's such a privilege, such an honor. So leading up to the event, I'm just happy to even be there, right? But then in the back of my mind, I say, I can't just be happy. I can't just coast. I want to compete. I want to do well. And leading up to the event, like 2 weeks, like we talked about this, you know, earlier, 2 weeks leading up to the event, I feel like it's on the back of your mind a little bit. Mm-hmm. You're training, it's fatiguing, just thinking about it so much. And you're kind of trying to get the game plan mentally going into the event. And also get the reps on the water. I think you and I both were skiing really well in training leading up to the event.
Yeah.
And that was really comforting. You know, wasn't it? You know, sometimes you're leading up to an event, all of a sudden your skiing goes to shit and you're like starting to freak out.
Yeah.
We didn't have that experience, which is really nice. Yeah, you know, I was running a lot of threes behind you with green screens, you know, running the 39s. So I felt really confident. I felt like I kind of got my shit together. I ran that 2:41 at Hobe, like, what, 2 weeks before I skied at
in
Worlds.
In a record tournament.
Yeah. So that was really, really cool. So leading up, I really just focused on making sure I had my mental plan right. Because I kind of knew from watching you 2 years ago how intense it was. Mm-hmm. And you don't really think about it that way because it's like, oh, it's just another record tournament at Jack's, right? Oh, I'll just be able to think that on the dock and then that'll calm me down. But I know from 2 years ago, it's not that way. There's going to be a lot of things coming at you and you have to have a good mental game plan. And I'm really glad that I put that work in leading up because it did happen. Like, come the day of, I wasn't really nervous until I think about like an hour before I skied.
Interesting.
And then I started to get a little nervous. The wind kicked up. It's getting closer.
Right.
You know, luckily dudes were skiing well, so I knew it was going to feel okay out there.
Yeah. And
there were some 39s that were going down before me. And so I was just like, oh man. We show up, right? And there's a lot going on. There's the bouncy houses, there's live music, there's food trucks, there's all these people from all over the world. Then the shoreline is lined with people watching intently on what's going on, the action on the water. And when your turn is up, it's just you out there. And you know your family and friends are all watching. And I think those are the things that people don't think about. And so, of course, we have experience skiing in big tournaments. You know, I've skied in like 5-star pro events. And I've skied with cameras in my face and the TWBC crew doing their great thing that they do. So it wasn't like necessarily I was some noob just thrown into the muck. But this was just, it just felt so much bigger.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty nerve-wracking to be standing on that dock with that world's bib on. It felt bigger and grander than I could have expected.
Yeah.
And so I was glad that I did the mental kind of training leading up to the event, saying, look, I'm going to get distractions, but I just need to have the game plan. Like I told myself, I was just going to focus on my cues. I gave myself like 2 cues. One was mental and one was actually physical on the water. Mm-hmm. And like, that's all I'm going to think. And when every single time a distraction comes my way or anytime I get a little freaked out, whether I'm before I'm about to go ski or when I'm actually skiing, I'm just going to go back to those things that I can sit, tell to myself like really quickly, like rapid fire cues that just get me focused.
Yeah.
Present. I just want to be present. I want to be relaxed and calm and just like have laser focus on what I'm trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that works really well. I mean, I think I skied with great confidence. I felt really, really solid out there. I think my 11 meter pass was so solid.
Yeah, you didn't look nervous. You know when you see somebody ski and for whatever reason the event is important to them, like it could be a record tournament, but they're trying to, you know,
or a national,
a score or nationals, right? And they look nervous, like they look jumpy and they look unsettled.
Ski defensive and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I think you looked really, really settled in, which was impressive for a first Worlds.
Thank you. Yeah, it was hard, but I was just glad to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Of course, it wasn't the end result I wanted. At Tail 139, I thought I had a wicked start.
Yeah,
my Kate 1-2, I felt like I couldn't have drawn it up better, but fell back on the ski and lost the line at 3, and that's all she wrote. So that's disappointing, but in hindsight, I think based on the year I had,
right,
versus my last two record tournaments, which was the Hobe record where I ran the 2:41, and the Worlds where I skied with confidence, and I felt like if I had run that 39, I feel like I could have ran a 3 and made the final. Like I think mm-hmm. I had that capability.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen day of, but I think I had the capability, and I was confident enough to think I could be there and up with the top 12 guys. I think that was huge for me. It makes me want to train this offseason. It makes me excited for next year.
And there's a lot of value to that, you know? I mean, neither of us have won a Worlds. So I'm speculating right now, but I feel like, you know, if you win a World Championships after all the hard work we've talked about, you probably want to kick up your feet for a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is great. Well-deserved, too. But, you know, there's value in not achieving the score you want to achieve, right? Because there's, like, a motivation that comes from it. And I think that you're right. It's a feeling. Skiing a world is a feeling that is really unlike any other tournament experience. Like you just can't replicate it anywhere else. And I don't know, maybe it's because the layout of Jack's dock, but if you've ever watched the webcast, you know that you walk down on the dock and then you walk kind of alongside that boat lift and you turn left and that's the starting dock, right? It's like this kind of longish dock walk out. And once you're down there on the end, like on the carpet, you're really alone. Unless you have somebody come down on the dock with you, like you. But even when you're there, once the boat pulls up and they take the handle and you sit on the edge and you get in and that, you know, handoff happens, you, as my person, you step back and you're alone. Everybody's on the shore stretching and getting ready and everybody further down the shore is there watching. But like, there is no phone a friend. There is no lifeline. Like, once you get in, you are in. And
it's on you.
Oh, it's 100% on you.
Right.
And there's no second chances. It's not a two-round top 8 scores go to the finals. It's one round. It's top 12. And that is it. It's a very intense one-round tournament experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of pressure. And it's really high pressure if you let it be really high pressure. Mm-hmm. I think regardless, there's going to be a baseline of pressure. I'm sure people handle it different ways, but I mean, obviously you have to be able to handle that and make it not so big that it's going to collapse you. I think we could probably do a whole nother podcast about how to handle pressure on the dock and on the water when you're skiing in a big tournament.
Right.
But everyone's going to have their own thing, but you have to just make it, you know, not so insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the time on the water helps with that. Cause if you can just do muscle memory and result, you know, that, what do they say? They say that you follow the level of your training.
You aspire to something, but you usually fall to the level of your training.
Right.
But, yeah, I forget the saying, but I know what you mean.
And I think that's super accurate. I think if you haven't put the time on the water, no matter what you do mentally, mm-hmm. It's not going to work out well for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also past that muscle memory, you still need also like a mental game plan as well. But like I said, we could probably do a whole other podcast on that.
Well, yeah, and to represent the other side of the coin, you weren't nervous until like an hour before you skied. I was nervous for like 2 whole days.
I just didn't allow I just could not do that to myself. I was like, I'm not going to worry until the day of. Like, I literally can't do anything right now.
You know, I wasn't worried. I was just letting myself experience the emotions that I knew were coming. Because if I stifled them, I was going to be really pent up. Like, it was going to be too much. So, and I thought I was going to ski Thursday. right? Like, that was the plan. So I woke up Thursday, the nerves start kicking in, I'm doing my routine, we're waiting, because we're looking at the weather going, I can't believe the girls are skiing in that rain. We're waiting, like, okay, is it time to drive out to the lake yet? Like, there's just no way we're gonna ski in this. And if we are, okay, what's the cut gonna be? Because this is not, I think at the time the cut was like 3 at 38. And we're like, okay, like, if they get through series 3 and everybody's skiing bad because it's raining, is the cut really going to be 3 at 38? We're going to get into series 2 and that's going to decide it. You know, so you're starting to strategize and you're trying to be realistic, but you're also trying to aspire to something great. And then we get the text that, like, hey, because of weather, they're going to move slalom and they're going to do trick earlier. And it was like, oh, okay. So, like, all that, you know, it's fatiguing, all that adrenaline and nerves. Like, I mean, I was exhausted and we did nothing that day.
Right. It's true. It is fatiguing. You're right.
So then I wake up on Friday and now it's like, okay, reset, redo, same nerves, everything. But also you're skiing that day and I always get nervous for you because I care. So it's like, okay, do my routine again. Is it time to go to the lake yet? Okay, like, are the scores better? It was a little windy and it was a little cool that morning, but, like, okay, scores are starting to get better. But I was super nervous. I was super, because it's one round, you know? And I knew I'd been skiing really good in practice and I had, like, a score goal that I set for myself. Cause I didn't want to just barely squeak in, which is ironic given what happened. I wanted to be seated a little bit higher. I wanted to have confidence. Like, okay, if I make the final, I don't want to have just gotten in and now be trying to plan how am I going to grab a few more buoys. I wanted to, you know, grab a nice score and then, like, okay, let's just replicate that in the finals. So, like, that was my plan. Did any of that go according to plan? Absolutely not. So
well, it did up until 2 ball.
Yeah.
It was the same as me. I feel like you looked really good. I mean, maybe you're 38, you had a little bit of a weird 4 ball.
Yeah, it got a little squirrely.
But, like, I don't know, that's gonna happen and you're just gonna hold on and it's fine. Whatever. You've been running 38 really easy in practice. Like, if you have a bobble in tournament, you can hold on and just get through it.
Yeah.
But I feel like your gate one at 10.7 was money.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to go. And, you know, like you said that you had some coaching cues that, like, you kept trying to default to keep yourself calm. I was, like, less cue focused than normal, but that was just because, like I said, it's a world, it's one round. So, like, my coaching I gave myself, it's from a book I was reading at the time, a fantasy book. It was, you do not yield. Like, pick any skill to work on in the moment, whatever, pull the tool out. Like, whatever goes wrong, pull out the right tool and use it. But, like, whatever you do, you do not yield. And that 38 was the definition of you do not yield, because I should have fell at 4 ball, I should have fell at 5 ball, and I should not have made it outside 6 ball, and I probably should not have held on through the gates. But, like, it was not an option in my brain. It was like, it is not done until I am swimming in the water, like, and yeah, made it through that 38. And like you said, 1 ball at 39 was money, and I saw there was a pileup of girls with 2 at 39, and in my head, on the way to 2, I said, Elizabeth, like, don't be a coward. You turn 2 all the time. Don't just get a 2 and be in that stack up, because what's going to happen is when they seed everybody for finals, if everybody's tied at 2, it becomes a randomization. IWWF holds the power to randomize that group.
Yeah, it's not like a pro event where it'll go back to seeding.
Right.
Not or backup scores. There's no backup score, obviously.
Yeah, so it's going to be random. And if I was in that 2 stack up, I was like, you could be first off the dock. You could be at the bottom of that pile closer to first seed. Like, separate yourself from the group and get a piece of 3 ball. So I went to turn 2. Things got really squirrely. 1.5. Now I'm tied for the last spot in, which is, like, not where I wanted to be at all. But I just didn't want to be a coward. Like, I'm so sorry. I just hate when girls who can get more than 2 stand up and just take a 2. There's a lot of really talented girls out there. And I put myself in the category of a lot of them where it's like, you really should make yourself turn 2 because you're better than that. You can get to 3. You can get to 4. You can get down the line. So that was my gamble. You know, I tried to be better and it didn't work out for me. That, like, that happens. And I got really lucky that I tied with Sadie for a spot in and I had the chance to run off for that last spot in.
Yeah, I mean, I think going for it was the right move. I mean, based on your gate one, you're going to turn 2 ball there. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously it didn't work out, but, like, you're just gonna get turned. You're going to turn 2. There's no way you're standing up at 2 there with that good of a 1. It would be dumb.
Right.
It just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
I understand, you know, later down the group, people want to get in the final. You know, the girls just want to make it in. It's Worlds. There's a lot of pressure. You don't want to go down when you could have just stood up. I get standing up and just getting in the final. I would do the same thing. Like, if it was a 3 or 41 cut, and I'm like, late, but, like, let's say I had a great gate 1-2. Like, even if I had a great gate 1-2, I feel like I'm just going to stand up at 3. Maybe because it's my PB. But, like, even if I have a chance to turn, it's like, why risk it? You know, get in the damn final.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm guessing. I know a lot of people said this because they texted me it, and it was very rude. A lot of people said, Elizabeth, like, you know, basically, I was 8th seed, so I knew exactly what I needed to get in to qualify. Like, I knew that. It wasn't, like, 2 years ago where I was guessing because I was, like, 22nd seed or whatever I was. And a lot of people said, why didn't you just stand up? Like, somebody texted me, I'm so mad at you.
What?
I was like...
Who?
Be fucking for real right now. Like, you're mad at me. How about I'm mad at me? Like, leave me alone.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I should have. Knowing, being 8th seed, and knowing.
Yeah, I think even now.
Sure. Should have stood up.
No, you shouldn't have.
But gate 1 was good enough.
No. You should. There's no way. Yeah. You don't stand up there. You had to. No.
So.
Anyone who texts you should have stood up has never skied in a big tournament and have never run into 39. I'm sorry. This is the truth.
Well. Regardless of that, 1.5 is what I ran 2 years ago in the prelims at Worlds. So I wanted to ski better, and I tied, right? So that was like, I was like, that, like, insult to injury. But I had to run off with Sadie, and she had skied a series and a half earlier, or maybe just a series earlier. So, I mean, I knew I had an advantage there. 7 more women after me skied. I was more recently off the water than her. It was going to be a 38 off the dock. I was just going to try to run it. I just was like, just run it. Just, I mean, no ill will towards Sadie, right? I was like, just make this as hard as possible for her. Her muscles are going to be colder because she's been off the water longer. If you run 38, that's a really tall order for somebody who's been sitting here for like 20 years. I got 4, you know, tried my best. I knew I could have ran it, but whatever. I got 4, she got 1.5. So I squeak into the finals.
First off the dock.
But I'm first off the dock in the finals.
So then we came back to our home base and you got another set in.
Skied on Saturday. It was pretty blown out here. Remember that? It was out of the side. It was a crosswind.
Yeah, it was kind
of
gnarly.
So I was like a little frustrated because I was like, oh, I just don't feel rhythmic. You know, but we get there on Sunday and the wind is predicted to be so bad that they swap slalom and jump. So instead of slalom finals first on Sunday, we get the text that they're going to do jump finals first because the wind is only going to get worse. We woke up and the wind was bad and it's only going to get worse, right? So jump finals happen. We go out and it was pretty windy.
I'd say it was about, you know, 12 to 15 straight down the lake all day.
Yeah.
It kind of got worse and worse as we went on. So we knew it was going to be windy. We knew it was going to be a fight. But hey, you really stuck to your guns. You showed really good confidence and a level head, and I think it paid off.
There was a lot of conversation about, like, what was the right strategy for the women. You mm-hmm. know, when you look at that group of 12 who made the finals, a lot of them, if not all of them, most frequently start at 32 off. But that would, in that wind, headwind off the dock, that would give you a 39 tail and a very stiff tailwind.
Yeah.
So there was, the strategy came into play. There was the camp that said, I'm going to go start at 28, even though I don't normally do that, to give myself, I have to run the 38 tail first, but then 39 head. And then there was the group that said, no, I'm going to stick to my guns. I normally start at 32. That is my rhythm and my tempo. I feel confident enough to take 39 tail in that stiff tailwind. That I was in that group. I said to myself, you know, I actually like a little bit of a tailwind sometimes. Sometimes I use it to help push me out of a buoy. So I was like, if I can get through this 38 headwind, which was like skiing into a brick wall, I'll have that 39 tail. And with that gate in 1 I had 2 days ago, but that little push giving me a little more water speed, I felt pretty confident. That is, if I had a second chance, I would do that over again. That was another thing people asked me on the shore, like, oh, I bet you wish you'd started at 28. It's like, no, I don't. Because girls were struggling to run 38 in the tailwind, too. It was hard both ways.
It was a really difficult 38 tail, so hats off to the girls that pulled it off. But, yeah, that was It was really windy. It was really windy. I think if you watch on the webcast, it didn't really do it justice.
No.
If you're standing on that shore, you can feel it on your body. It was very windy.
And it was a day cold. Most of the people there would have elected to not ski if it had just been a normal fall day.
Yeah, it would have been, or like do doubles and just do some 38s, like not really cut too short. Yeah.
So yeah, the skiing into that headwind, it felt like a brick wall. I stood up at three ball, because at least the start was good. Stood up at three ball, ready to turn, and I mean, I lost all my water speed so fast.
I think it started at two ball. You kind of got on the tail.
Yeah, I guess so. And yeah, had a kind of a nasty fall on the way out to five. I was definitely a little bit concussed the next day.
Oh yeah, you spun out, huh?
Yeah, that was a weird fall. There was a handful of weird falls. You know, when the wind is present, it changes your water speed, and the rate of acceleration also changes. And that's like just not something, if you're not used to all of that, you can lose your balance, and a short line can mean a nasty fall. So yeah, four at 38 actually placed me eighth. And that is exactly what happened 2 years ago. Four at 38, and I got eighth. So zero progress in 2 years. But at least I held my own. So, like, I own that spot and those scores. It's mine now. Nobody else can have them. I think that I looked better, like, as a skier. Like, I think, you know, this is my first Worlds on a LaPointe ski. I think my 38s, the starts were much better. Like, technically, it was better skiing. It just didn't show in the scores. But I think if I had had to ski in that headwind, because 2 years ago, the weather was perfect. There was no wind, and it was warm.
Yeah.
If I had to ski in that wind 2 years ago, I don't think I would have skied those scores and placed where I did. So it is progress. It's just not the kind that shows in the numbers, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's skiing a lot of the time, though.
Yeah.
Because I think I've made a ton of progress from last year, but my scores were down this year. But I just feel like so much better of a skier.
Right.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of part of the sport, though, you know?
Yeah. It's
I think everyone experiences that.
For sure. I think people don't realize when they're experiencing it, and they're really hard on themselves about it.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to be.
Yeah. That's probably a whole thing we should talk about at some point, actually.
What? Being hard on yourself in the sport?
Well, just like being able to identify a building year versus a performance year. And so at least, like, if you can identify it, then you don't have to beat yourself up and lose sleep over it necessarily, right?
Right.
Okay, we'll talk about that another time, so you guys hold on to that one. But yeah, that was my world experience, and I mean, we were both just exhausted on Sunday. It was, you know, the lead up to Worlds, you train so hard and you train with so much intention.
Yeah.
And everything is thought out, like what meals we want to eat, how much sleep we want to get. I mean, just every little thing we just plan so well, just so that there's less surprises. And so after the finals was over, I was like, I just need to sleep.
Well, then I was like, shit, we got to pack up the camper and drive home because we got work tomorrow.
Yeah, we work on Monday.
So we better get going. Like, classic. So the skis tournament's over. Oh, shit.
I know, my boss.
We have 5 hours to figure out our lives.
My boss saw my video, my crash. She's like, why are you working today? I was like, you know, I don't really know. I am just muscle memory right now. All muscle memory.
That's a nice boss.
Oh, my God. I have the best boss. But, you know, I do want to say, like, major kudos to the Travers family for, I thought 2 years ago it was the best kind of Worlds that could be done, but I think they did it even bigger and better, and really creating like as safe of conditions as they could for us. They don't control the wind, you know, so, but everything was super dialed in, the boats, the drivers, the ropes, I mean, the schedule. Nikki Lee and Lori Covington were our captain, coach, manager duo for Team USA. They did a great job of communicating to us all the changes. I'm sure that was more stressful for them than it was for us. They were fantastic. They were on site all day, every day, until the last American skied. First American to last American. Really felt supported there. TWBC did a better Worlds webcast than ever, in my opinion. The sponsor booths were more decked out than ever. More food trucks, more fans. It was really cool. I felt like every time I turned left or right, I saw somebody new that I'm not used to seeing with that person over there, right? Like, I was like, oh my God, like, literally everybody in the world is here right now. Like, hi, hi, hi. So that was really cool. But yeah, as a skier, it's exhausting. I feel like you don't get to enjoy it, all of the amenities of it, because you're just trying to stay focused and ski. So plan one day, have kids, get them good enough to ski Worlds, go enjoy Worlds. They can be the nervous skiers.
I just don't think that's how it works.
That is the plan.
I think the parents are just as nervous. And
yeah, no.
They're training as well, just not physically.
Yeah, my parents were sick, so they didn't come because they, you know, didn't want to risk being around people. That's unfair to them. And then your parents were out of state, so we didn't have any nervous parents lingering around us. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah. Maybe good. I don't know.
Maybe good. Yeah, but that was Worlds. There was some upsets. There were some people who were predicted to, you know, run certain scores, or people who had been hyping themselves up. They were going to run certain trick and jump certain scores, and people who were going to win things with their eyes closed. And that wind kicked up, man, and everything changed.
Yeah, it was really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Even, you know, obviously I competed, but it's the athletes are so amazing, and you can just see the dedication and the athleticism and the mental strength, you know, like the overall guys are always so impressive, and girls,
yeah.
It's just, it's crazy. So it was amazing to watch as well, just as a fan of skiing. So if you ever get a chance to go to a Worlds, I recommend it.
Yeah, we do recommend, 10 out of 10.
It's cool, man.
5 stars on Yelp.
It's the coolest event you'll ever go to by far in skiing, especially when it's at Jack's.
Yeah, it's literally everybody. It's the only time
and it's
everybody
the biggest
gets
jumps,
together.
The biggest tricks.
Yeah.
The biggest scores in slalom.
Everybody pulls out their A run in the finals. Everybody is gonna PB in slalom. You know,
The trick is so fun to watch.
Watching you watch trick is my new favorite event.
Because I'm so ignorant, right?
You're you're so impressed by it, and it is so impressive, but like I used to be a trick skier, so like I like understand some of it.
Yeah.
You know, and their sequences and the strategy and all that. Like I geek out over it, but you're just like, oh my God, I didn't even know that was a trick, and oh my God, what was that? And like it's so fun.
That's kinda like with me with when I go see bands. It's just I've studied it for so long and I just know all the tricks, and I just know it's like you know, it's not magical anymore.
Yeah,
obviously I love music, whatever, but like I just get analytical with it, versus when I go see a comedian, I was like, I can never do that shit. And so I see a comedian, I'm just like, oh my, this is amazing. Like, how do you even fathom this? Like, this is unbelievable.
Well, what we both have in common is we both can't jump for shit, so jump is magical to us, and I will never do it or be good at
it. Hey, I can jump 79 feet.
Ooh, big boy stuff.
What do you mean I can't jump?
Is that like series 20?
Men's series, jump? Series 100. Probably even more. Maybe more series.
Yeah, so that is that. I'd say we were recovered and settled back in, and we had 6 tournament weekends in a row before Worlds, or 5 or something, so that was a lot in itself too. But yeah, we're home now. We're in the off season. We've got an Okehele 3-event tournament a week from today, and then we've got a 1-day slalom tournament like the weekend after that, or is it 2 weeks after that?
No, it's the weekend after.
Weekend after that, and then we're done with tournaments. I don't know. I'm not ready for this year to be over. Personally, like after finals, I went behind one of the trailers and just like cried on my hands and knees. I just had to. I just had to get it out. I was a little sad, of course, about how I skied, but I didn't want the year to be over. It's been a fun year for me. I've been more consistent. I haven't made any podiums, made any headlines, but I've been more consistent, and I think there's something to be said for that. And I feel really good about it. So I was also heartbroken at that. I'm like, oh, that was the last big one, right? That was for the year. That was the last it. But I think an off season is going to be healthy. We've got some fun stuff planned for this off season.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a good off season. I need it. I'm done. I'm tapped.
I'm not. I will never be done.
I'm still going to ski through the winter.
Exactly. So you're still full of shit. You're not tapped.
I'm tapped on, you know, traveling and.
Oh, well, yeah.
And, you know, competing and skiing like shit. I'm ready to focus this winter.
I'm done competing. I'm also competing in a CrossFit competition in December.
Well, that's not real competing.
That's for fun. So much harder.
That's for fun.
Oh my God. Okay, well, that's your version of fun. We need to reevaluate our priorities.
This is like, go work out, but like, go faster than normal.
It's gonna be so fun to watch you with that. See, watching is fun. But you're doing a CrossFit comp. I think we've got a cold winter coming. Everything, the Farmer's Almanac and the weird people on the corner down the street all agree that it's gonna be a cold winter. So I don't know how much skiing we're actually gonna get to do. Might be a lot of doubles.
It'll be fine. Don't say that. The Scottish people and the Canadians are gonna come at us. And
okay, you guys have to know by now, when I say cold winter, I mean where like it's not skiable in not a dry suit. Okay, I'm not saying cold relative to all cold. I'm just saying like, it's 40 degrees outside. Don't really want to get wet head to toe at 7 a.m. in the dark.
Well, yeah, and as always, whenever it's cold here, there's always a 20-mile-an-hour north wind that goes along exactly. with it.
So. I know, and people give me so much shit when like I wear like my beanie and my coat and stuff, and I'm like, no, it's not. Well, it's not objectively cold, right? I get wet, I'm in the shade, the wind is at 20 mile an hour out of the north, I'm freezing my ass off.
Yeah, everyone would be cold in that situation.
Yeah. So, a little common sense, people.
I mean, I used to live in Boston where, like, if it rose above 45 degrees, it was spring and I was out in a short and t-shirt, it was 45.
I love a 68.
But I wasn't getting fucking wet, I'll tell you that.
Exactly. No, high 60s, like, oh, let's get a coffee, let's go for a walk, we'll take, the dogs love it, right? They're not, like, Rosie is living her best life. Like, that's rosy weather. She's all fluffing. It's a great day.
You know what we should do when it gets really cold here?
What?
Go surf.
I don't know how
to surf. It's way more fun when it's like, it's wicked cold, but you can wear a wetsuit and it's like, the ocean water is not too cold.
Okay. Well, so I guess we're surfing this winter. I'm going to be doing lots of long walks. I'm back to cooking again from scratch because we have the time now. That's been tasty. I don't know.
We can deep clean things.
Yeah, I'm gonna clean, got some work stuff. I'll be traveling for work a little bit soon to some sports events, which will be really cool.
CrossFit, travel, surf, food, clean. Off-season shit.
Stevie's Guide to the Off-Season.
Oh my god.
We might be partnering with Lululemon to put on some local events. I'm trying to think of like what's new. In season, we're just like, tournament, travel. So we're doing fun stuff. We'll keep you guys posted. But yeah, that's Worlds.
Nice. All right, guys. Well, we'll catch you in the next one. We're going to try and do some more podcasts. We just had an idea in this one. I guess we got to do that.
Yes, building years and being able to identify it.
Nice.
Coming all right, I'm to writing a theater near down. You.
Nice. All right, peace.